It's time for Teach Me What You Know, our weekly segment where our guests teach us how to do something new. Last week, we learned how to improve our memories. This week, we're going to learn how to brew the perfect cup of coffee.
America was once known by the rest of the world for its bad-tasting coffee, but our coffee culture has really taken off during the last decade. Now, independent coffee shops with all types of coffee and brewing techniques are easy to find.
And our guest for this week's Teach Me What You Know is the director of coffee at one of Wisconsin's own independent coffee shops. George Breger works at Collectivo, formerly known as Altera, which is based in Milwaukee and has locations around the state. George, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Now, before we get started, is your title really Director of Coffee?
It is really Director of Coffee, and I'm always, you know, sort of amused when I get to tell people that.
Do you have a business card?
I do. I do have a business card, yes.
I'd love to have one of those. Now, let's talk about, as the Director of Coffee, the person who knows coffee probably better than anybody, you have to start somewhere. Do you start with the bean? Is that the first place with getting good coffee?
Yeah, I mean, if you're the consumer, you can only make the coffee you make at home can only be as good as the beans that you're purchasing. So that's definitely the place to start.
So what are you looking for in a coffee bean?
Well, I mean, if you're at the grocery store or at your local roaster trying to make the decision, I mean, the best place to start, the best place to look for sure is local coffee roasters. Obviously, I'm partial to our coffee and would
yes.
recommend Collectivo coffee, but the fact of the matter is that, all the local roasters around Milwaukee and Madison around the state are purchasing and roasting and selling coffee that's of much higher quality than, most of the more commercial stuff you can find at the grocery store.
So you say you're starting with a good bean. What do you do? Do you sniff it or do you actually brew a cup?
Well, it's a pretty complicated process, actually. I mean, at Collectivo, we receive about 1,500 or more samples of green coffees from farmers around the world throughout the year. And what we do is we actually sample roast them on a small roaster, and then we go through a process which is called cupping. And cupping is sort of the, coffee industry accepted way of tasting and evaluating coffee. Similar to like a wine tasting, but for coffee. So we grind up coffee and we put it in a special sized bowl and we steep it in there for a period of time. And then we sort of use a special spoon called a cupping spoon, and we sniff and we actually slurp very vigorously the coffee across our palates to judge it on any number of different categories.
So you sniff and you slurp.
Yep.
What
when
do
you
do?
Get a bunch of people in a room doing that at one time, it's pretty entertaining.
So you're looking for certain qualities in the bean. What qualities are you looking for?
On the cupping form or the
scoring form, yeah.
Yeah, that we use. The categories that are on that form are flavor, aftertaste, acidity, body, sweetness, clean cup, uniformity, all kinds of things.
It's all very complicated.
It is all very complicated.
Now, medium roast, that's the only thing that I know of. You look at the coffee beans and it says like medium roast or whatever, and I don't even understand what that means. What does that mean? Is that the body or what is that?
Well, yeah, and we use these sort of complicated forms, but when it comes down to it, I mean, the consumer is trying to kind of navigate towards something that they're going to like, right? And roast is a good place to start. And when we talk about roast, I mean, you say medium roast, but when we talk about roast, we're obviously talking about the degree light or dark that we roast the coffee. And the difference
it just means you cook them longer. Is that
right?
What
exactly, longer and darker. So if you think of it, you compare it to, I think the easiest way to think about it is toasting bread, right? So the more you toast a piece of bread, the less it's going to taste like bread, it's a sort of original flavor, and then the more it's going to taste like burnt.
Like charcoal.
Toast, like charcoal, yeah.
Yeah.
And coffee is very similar in that if you roast coffee very light, you will retain more of the characteristics and flavors that come from the place where it's grown. And as you roast it darker and darker, those flavors are sort of diminished, and they're replaced by flavors that come from the roasting process itself.
No, that's completely roasted. Counterintuitive to me, because I would think light roast would taste less like coffee and dark roast would be more like coffee.
Well, that, I mean, expressing it that way is sort of true if you think of dark roasted flavor as coffee flavor.
Ah.
But the most interesting flavors in coffee, or many of the most interesting flavors in coffee, are the ones that are, you know, come from acidity and other, you know, compounds that are in the bean themselves, that if you roast them too dark, you'll roast those flavors away.
So what about acidity and body? What do we need to know about those?
Well, acidity is a term that the coffee industry has struggled with because it sounds bad, right? It sounds like acid or something that's going to maybe screw up your stomach. But when we're really talking about acidity in coffee, we're talking about the flavors that come from natural organic acids that exist in those coffee beans. And those flavors are some of the most prized and most important flavors in the beans themselves. So I always tell people not to shy away from coffees that have high acidity, because even if they're not conscious of what acidity is bringing to the flavor of the coffee, it is playing a very important role in the way the coffee tastes.
And so you've got your bean, and there are all kinds of different ways to brew coffee these days. An electric brewer, you've got your French press, cold, not cold fusion, what is it called?
Cold brew, yeah.
Cold brew.
Yep.
What do you prefer? What do you advise for us?
Well, you know, I can tell you that all those methods that you just described are valid and can make great coffee, all the way down to the electric brewer. I mean, that's probably the area where there's the most chance for error, although there are some electric brewers that make great coffee, but it comes down to preference. What I use at home personally is the kind of the manual pour over cone, you know, which is basically the manual version of the electric drip brewer. But all those methods are valid. The most important thing is to stick to a good water to coffee ratio and grinding fresh and using hot enough water and things like that.
So what is the ideal coffee to water ratio?
Well, the ideal coffee to water ratio, and hopefully people won't just turn the radio off when I start talking about the brewing science part here, but 60 grams per liter. And that equates to about 2 tablespoons, or, you know, a 2 tablespoon measure for every 6 ounces of water. So if you can use the brewer that you're already using at home and kind of figure out how much water you're using and then use the appropriate amount of coffee to achieve that 60 grams per liter ratio, that's a good place to start. The formula, the water to coffee formula or ratio, is really the place where you can't deviate from that too much and make good coffee.
Why not?
Because the way that the coffee... I like that you asked that question. You want to know.
I do want to know.
That's good. The water to coffee ratio, because if you use less coffee, I mean, I heard you start the segment by saying that we're known for bad coffee, or I can't remember how you said it, but a lot of that has to do with years and years of trying to use less coffee and grind it finer to get the most out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the issue with doing that is that you end up over-extracting the coffee grounds that you put into the basket. You know, you want to use less, you want to grind fine, and then you end up over-extracting it. And the flavors that come out of coffee, when you get beyond a certain extraction percentage, are not desirable flavors. So for years and years and years, people, you know, in an effort to be, you know, thrifty, have been making over-extracted weak coffee. And on the other side of that, if you dose too much coffee in there or your formula is too strong, you'll have the opposite problem. You'll have overly strong, under-extracted coffee. So you really got to stick with the formula and then kind of adjust your grind from there until the coffee tastes good.
Okay, and so we're talking about the coffee-to-water ratio. What about the water? Does the temperature matter?
The temperature of the water is critical, you know. This is where most electric home $30 Mr. Coffee type brewers fall short. They don't really brew coffee at a hot enough temperature. You'll see in a lot of brewing manuals and things like that, you know, you want to brew coffee around 200 to 205 degrees in that range. When I make coffee at home, I just try to brew the coffee as hot as possible.
Okay, so keep it hot. We're going to leave it there. George, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. It was fun.
We've been speaking with George Breger, Director of Coffee at Colectivo Coffee. He's been teaching us how to brew the perfect cup of coffee for this week's Teach Me What You Know segment.